Good evening. Good to see this crowd. Thanks for coming out. Just relax and let's all enjoy this together. We'll have a congregational song here by Fairview, and then Tim Bays will bring us a little object lesson.
All right, if you'll look in your benches, there is a copy of This Little Light of Mine, the new version. It's one page, front and back. We start with the chorus. The verses on this are pretty fast, so stay with me so we don't lose a whole verse getting it together. No, so this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, the day that Jesus found me, He turned my life.
Again, good evening. There is a verse in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So tonight we have a gathering of people, for the most part, that are enthused about tract work. If you're not enthused about tract work, you're at the right place, because that's what this is all about. The verse says that God's word will accomplish what God pleases. That's God's part. The word whereto is our part. The whereto is the laundry, the truck stop, the waiting room at the doctor's office, the clerk at TJ Maxx, or the homeless man in Oklahoma City, or what other city you take tracks to. So tonight we're going to do a little bit of an object lesson to show a visual of how important each one of us is in the spreading the gospel story. Okay, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need several people to help me up here, and some people have been alerted to this, so it's not a surprise to them. We have some of the Fairview Youth boys here. I need them to, I think there's four over there to come up. First of all, you can go ahead and come up. And then, Tim, you want to come up and help? That's five. Darren and Brant, ushers. We'll try that and see what's going to happen. Okay. First of all, I want you to take these candles here. Okay, so take half one way and half the other way. Hand everyone in the crowd a candle. All right? So just at the, you might just start at the aisle and pass them in so that everybody gets a candle. And if you want to take this on the other side and some of you grab, whatever, just going to have to start grabbing. See how it works. And then I want you that are giving out the candles to come back up here because we're going to light that candle. We hope this works. Okay, I might make a note here. I am a school teacher, and one thing that school teachers are known for, we beg, borrow, and steal every good idea that we can, and we change it to our use. And this demonstration was performed last November at our area school meeting at Texline, Texas. Bill Azell was there for the icebreaker, and he did this. And when he did it, I thought, you know what? That would adapt very well to a track meeting. So we're going to do it here. I'm going to go ahead and light this candle up here. This candle here is going to represent God or God's light or the Word of God. It's up to you parents to decide if your child gets a candle or not. I did alert one of our deacons earlier about MUA coverage on the church, so we hope we're doing okay on that tonight. Are the candles holding out? You boys each need one yourself. Did you have one? Did you keep one back? Or are we out of candles? Yes, you need to come up here. But you need a candle. Are we out or do we have some yet?
I think there's some in there.
Okay. So you take your candle. You're going to take your candle. You're going to light it off of this one. And then you're going to go down the aisle and light the end person on the aisle, their candle. And then they are going to light the person next to them and spread it down that way, okay? And as soon as we get a little bit of light going here, we want the light shut off in the church. Yeah, just go ahead and get started. Well, you have to be careful. You can't go too fast. Okay, start with Vaughn right there and go ahead and light his, and he'll light Eric's, and we'll go from there with it. Oh, you can go to the back and start coming back up. Yeah, Jeffrey, why don't you come down this way right here? So these candles represent the Word of God, God's light to the world, the light being spread by contacting others. You take your candle, you light the person next to you, it's spreading the word of God. Okay, Jason, can you shut off the lights back there for us, please? Yes, go ahead. I can't see my notes, but I think I'll be okay, maybe. We have to get another light out here yet. Okay, you all can just stay in the back with your lights right now if you want to for now. Okay, now, here's what we're going to do. Vaughn is going to lead us in the verse of a song right now. The first verse, and I don't know if you can see the copies in the benches or not. Vaughn, you want to give them? It's the other copy that was in your benches.
Lord, let me be a light.
He's going to lead you in verse 1. It looks pretty neat from up here, I'll tell you that. Go ahead.
It does. It's amazing. No, Lord, let me be a little light, shining in a world of night. Small and little though I be, great your light in me. Let me be a little candle, burning pure.
Okay, now, want everyone that has never given, placed, or left a tract somewhere, blow out your candle. If you have never given a tract out, placed a tract box, or left a tract somewhere, blow out your candle. How we doing, okay? Are we ready to try to sing the next verse? We'll sing verse 2.
Lord, let me be a helping hand, reaching out to fallen man, helping cheer the lone and sad, making their hearts glad. Let me be a little candle, burning pure and bright.
Okay, now, everyone that has not personally handed a tract to someone, blow out your candle. So this, you would have had to make contact with them, personally given them a tract. Blow out your candle. We're doing pretty good, I must say that, okay? All right, I think we can still sing. Let's sing another verse.
No. Lord, let me be a listening ear, showing love to all who fear, living life as you have shown, making your love known. Let me be a little candle, burning pure and bright.
Okay, now, all of you that have candles burning, if there's someone next to you that does not anymore, relight their candle for them. We're spreading the light, we're sharing the light, we're relighting those candles. Now, I believe Vaughn's going to lead us in the entire song, and let's hold the candles up and let our light shine while we're doing that. That looks really good from up here.
Lord, let me be a little light, shining in a world of night. Small and little though I be, great your light in me. Let me be a little candle burning pure and bright.
Okay, if we can have the lights back on, and you all may blow out your candles now, and you may pick up the candles, those that handed them out, if you'll just collect them as quickly as you can. Well, the boxes are up here, I guess. I will say this, at the school meeting when Bill did this demonstration, by that third verse there were very few candles lit in that crowd. But it was a little different. Different questions were asked. So I think we're doing good at handing out tracts. I think we can be encouraged with ourselves. Thank you for your participation. We'll have an opening prayer here as soon as they get those collected. I think the boxes are back that way now. You'll have to go back there with them. There's still a few right over here on the ladies' side. That looks good. You can just leave it there on the by the front bench, that'll be fine too. Okay, let's stand for a prayer. Father in heaven, we turn to you tonight. And there are so many things to be thankful for. We're thankful for this opportunity to be here. We're thankful for the commitments present. We're thankful for the Gospel Tract program that tries to spread the news of Jesus around the world. Bless us this evening. Inspire our hearts. Give us more enthusiasm for your work, the courage and the strength to go forward. Bless, keep, and protect us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's take our church hymnals and sing 216. Where are the reapers? 216. Do so.
Where are the reapers? Oh.
took a little putting together, but it was well worth it. I wish those that are listening over the phone could have got the feeling we had here. It's pretty special. We're thankful for our two brethren that are here on behalf of Gospel Tract. We'll look to them now. Todd Schmidt will speak to us. I believe Rod will add some words.
Good evening. It's great to be here to see this group. And I was going to say, I know that Tim said it was great that there's a group of people here that are enthused about tract work. But I want to change that just a little bit and inspired. Are you inspired? I believe that enthusiasm springs up from a well of inspiration. And so if you're inspired, there will be enthusiasm. Also, I believe we've already caught on that we all have work to do. And I'm not sure how to say this, but just for a little while here, we're going to keep tract work in the back of our minds, but we're going to set that aside for just a little bit. I don't know what you thought you were going to hear from the tract board tonight. Rod may share a little bit about our work and some of the reporting, but somehow that has not come to me to do that. I have a little quote here I want to read. This is from a book titled Reaching America by Gary Miller. I may say something about that book later, but it's well worth reading. It says this: every follower of Jesus Christ should be involved in planting, harvesting, or both. And just because there isn't an immediate harvest does not mean it is time to stop planting. We won't always see results from our labor, but all of us are called to be working, and everyone is needed in the field. There is not a one of us here this evening that can sit back, take a rest, and say that our work is done. The harvest is over with. The planting season is past. We all must continue. And so as we go through this evening, let's keep that in mind. What can I do in the work? As I was listening here this evening to the discussion, and a couple brethren have shared their thoughts, concern a little bit, it seems like tract work is diminishing among us just a little bit. And I'm not sure why. I cannot answer to that as to why. But again, if there is an inspiration, a well of inspiration, for the lost souls of man, we will be prepared and ready to go to work. So this evening, I'm going to just give you a little outline of some of the thoughts that I'm going to share. I'm going to share a little bit about AI, artificial intelligence. You're probably wondering where that's going. I'm going to talk about care packages, and then I have a few other things that I'm going to enter into in the end. So over the last couple years, it seems like we've heard a lot about artificial intelligence, and I've heard a lot of opinions among us as people as to whether that's a good thing or a bad thing or what we should do with it. I don't have answers. But not long ago, I decided that I'm going to figure out just a little bit what we're talking about. When somebody said AI, I just kind of wondered, what really are we saying? So I have this course that I've been listening to. The college professor has put together a course, and I've been listening to it about artificial intelligence. And I'm not going to go through what it actually is and what it isn't. But I am going to share just a little bit what it is not. So recently I heard one of our brethren speaking about how intelligent computers and that technology is going to become, and wondering where that was going to put us. Well, the inspiration that I have got from this course that I've been listening to, I'll put it this way. The professor that is sharing the course, or presenting the course, says that people that are involved in the field of philosophy, ones that think about things that I never think about, and how we think about those things, they are of the mind and are convinced that computers and robots and AI will never be able to replace humans in our process, the way we process things in our brain. They will never be able to emulate that. I'll just put it another way. If you work with the public enough, if you understand, even if you deal with your own family, your own children, your parents, and you go into the public, there's a quirkiness about humans that a computer can never emulate. I have seen things in the hospital where I work that, after we've discussed it as nurses and doctors, we're like, where did that come from? You could have never thought of it. So if you cannot think of it and it happens, a computer will never emulate that. Just putting it out there that way. So I'm going to give a few examples here just a little bit. This course instructor, he says it this way, that there was a computer that was built, programmed, and has been able to learn how they've developed it to where it can actually learn how to play chess. And nobody can beat it. The best chess players in the world cannot beat this program, this computer. But he says, if you change just the rules, and I don't know the rules, so I need to be careful here because some chess players are going to straighten me out. But I'm going to just put it this way. So if you say the bishop can only move 3 spaces instead of 2, that computer can never win a game. If you change something just a little bit, that intelligent computer that can beat all the chess players in the world cannot win one game if you change the rules just a little bit. That's the quirkiness that I'm talking about in human beings. So, here tonight, what I want to share with us is that humanness part, the part of a human work that we do, and the inspiration that comes with it when we think about tract work. And actually, when I say tract work, I want us to think, like I said, back off just a little bit from that. I've heard just a little bit this evening, the discussion around our table, that there's some questions about what do we mean, or what are we saying when we're doing tract work. And the thought struck me this evening is that maybe in our yearbook and in in our congregations, we need to start thinking, so is this a mission committee rather than a track committee? What can we do to put these brethren and sisters in charge of a mission work, not necessarily a track work? And that mission work may very likely include tracks and going out and putting out racks on in routes and going to cities and passing out tracks. It may include that. But tonight, do you have the vision that there's a harvest, there's a field, there's ground that needs to be tilled, there's a crop that needs to be planted, there's something that's coming that will grow and it needs to be harvested? And that is not tract work, but that is winning souls for Jesus. If you have that in your heart as the inspiration, you will become enthused, inspired with tract work. I'm going to just put it that way. So let's go back to this thought about doing things like a computer, the artificial intelligence. I'm going to just lay out something here that I've heard people say this evening even, that it seems like the tract work is diminishing. And I wonder if part of that is that we have run to an end and lost our inspiration because tract work has become automatic. Oh, so we have this route that needs to be run, and we need to do it every two or three times a year. And slowly we see that it's diminished to maybe one time a year, and then we see that we've dropped it. That is because it has lost its human quirkiness. Another thing I could use to explain that, I've been privileged, honored, to be placed over three tract workers in the East, over the worker in Hartford, Connecticut, Glastonbury, New Jersey, Piscataway, New Jersey, and Queens, New York. And when I have had a little orientation with those workers, I have shared it this way with them, that they have, each of them have probably 40 routes that they run to make, that they put out track routes. And so in the morning, you set off to run that route and restock those racks. And sometimes we can get caught up in this that, well, yes, I have 40 routes and I have 20 some racks in that route, and it takes me so many hours a day, and we can put the numbers together and it becomes an automatic thing. But fellow workers here tonight, don't get caught up in that. When you're on the road driving down the interstate, headed for the next destination, and you can add your own story to this, but you're headed to the next destination and you see somebody beside the road with a flat tire, that actually may be the person that needs a track today rather than the 20 laundromats that you have on your route. That quirkiness, be open to it. The tract handbook that us board members get has this phrase in it, and I'm not quoting it directly, but the most effective tract work is personal handouts. We put out racks out there because we want a big net. We do not know the next person that'll walk into that laundromat, pick up a tract, and be convicted of their sins, kneel down and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. We don't know that. We probably never will. But when we get willing to find those people that are hurting, struggling, need a tract, need an encouraging word, they need a missionary. They don't need a tract worker, they need a missionary. When we can find those people, and I have told some of my workers also that the tract is only a way to open up the door. When you walk up to somebody and you see that they need something, here's something you can read. But that only opens a door. Hopefully that you also then have the chance to say, how is it going? What is your life like? I see that you're crying. Can I help? That tract is only the starting point. Are you willing to put yourself there? Are you willing to accept what comes your way? This book that I mentioned, Reaching America, the author asked this question, and it has given me a lot of thought in the last few days. Maybe I should just put this in here now. I have actually only read the first several chapters of this book. So here I'm promoting a book that I think all of us should read, but I haven't come to the end of it yet. But he has had so many thoughts in there that have prompted a lot of thinking. But his thought is that when you go, like I noticed Tim mentioned the homeless man in Oklahoma City. When you go and hand him a tract, fellow missionaries here this evening, are you ready and open that someday he may actually want to sit down beside you and visit about where are you coming from? What gives you the joy in your life? What inspires your smile? Well, are you willing then that he may actually call you up and say, I want to come to your church? And are you willing to say, come? Are you willing then to say, yes, you can sit at my table? I have been found wanting. This Gary Miller has put out a real challenge for me. But are we willing for that? That person that you meet in Fairview that is searching for the gospel, and you know that, how would we say, he is actually from the other side of the tracks. But are you willing to invite him among your midst and let him sit with you? And are you willing to put up with the quirkiness that comes along with that? I believe we are, but it's going to take getting outside of our box. So I'm going to go back just a little bit here. Like I said, I've heard that there's some concern that tract work is diminishing. We have been doing tract work the same way for many, many years. We go out to a laundromat, to a check cashing place, to a gas station, convenience store. We put out a rack, and that's great. I'm not saying that we should stop that. But America is changing. There are a lot of people that are not used to seeing that rack there and feeling free to take it. What they need is somebody to walk up to them and hand them a tract. The quirkiness of humans. I'm going to share a couple of incidents. We spent a few months, several weeks in New York City, filling in between missionaries. And every fourth Sunday, we would go down to the subway station, big group, one of the neighboring congregations would come in. We would go out to the subway stations, and we would sing and pass out tracts. I found myself often looking at somebody and say, well, I'm trying to judge, will they take a tract or not? And if I determined that yes, they'll take a tract, I would put out my hand and offer them one. Well, one day, I think God was speaking to me. He was trying to tell me, do not discriminate. But I was standing facing the tunnel, waiting for people to come out. And I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I turned around, and there was a young man there, probably 19, 20 years old. His arms were tattooed, had earrings, how they have those big wooden deals in their ears. His earlobes had been stretched out. And he tapped me on the shoulder, and when I turned around, he told me, I want one of those. I would have never thought to give him one. I don't know. I don't want to suppose. But can you imagine the way God can use that when he reaches out, when that young man reached out for the gospel? I'll probably never see that young man again. But as he walked away, I had this feeling that there is a chance, there's a good chance, because of that willingness, I'm going to see a young man in heaven with tattoos. I don't know. But that quirkiness, let's just say it that way again. I'll probably mention a little bit here later. I've been asked to share about heaven's confetti. But I just want to share a story that come out of that little project. There's a couple that's on the track board. They're in Canada, Dewberry. They're the ones that started it, and Anthony and Sheena Thiessen. They started giving their friends these little Heaven's Confetti circles that they could hand out to others. There was a couple in Edberg, congregation of Edberg, that has a friend that is an airline stewardess, I believe on the airline's WestJet. And they were inspired to give this stewardess one of these confettis that said, you are loved. Last December, Anthony flew down to El Campo, Texas for the track board meeting. On his way home, on the last leg, I believe, he was inspired that, this couple knows this stewardess that is on this, that flies on these routes. And he wondered if he would meet up with her. He didn't know who she was. And it did not seem to open up that way, but when he left the plane, he left one of those Heaven's Confetti in the seat pocket. I don't know if it was that same flight or not, but that same, before they landed or what. But somebody else sat down in that seat and saw that little confetti there. And they, when the stewardess come along, they said, here, we want to give this to you. It was the same stewardess that had received that previous Heaven's Confetti that said, you are loved. It was the same one that said, you are loved. She received two of them. She called her friend at Edberg and told them, I must be loved. There's no way a computer, there's no way you can plan that out. It is only by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that something like that happens. AI will never emulate that. So don't worry if it seems like it's going that way. The Holy Spirit in Christian life will never be replaced by technology. We talk about the website, we talk about QR codes, and we talk about the technology that we can tap into, and that's all good. It needs to be. It's there when we're going to use it. But fellow missionaries this evening, let's never forget, let's never let it enter our mind that all this is going to become automatic, but keep our hearts and minds, our inspiration, that well of inspiration open, that when we see someone, and it may be somebody that's smiling, happy in Walmart, but here is something for you. The Lord is touching you today because He has touched my heart. So now let's talk about care packages. I don't know if you've ever heard of care packages, but I do know what you have heard of is, so we may have a family member in a mission field, and we hear of somebody going to that mission field, and oh, can you take this little package, and we put things in it that we know will bring a smile to their face. Can you take this package with you and give to our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, that care package? That idea, that concept, probably started somewhere, who knows when, probably been since humanity. But I'm thinking about care packages. In 1945, after World War II, Europe had went through a tremendous turmoil and devastation. And there was a group of businesses in America that after the war, they realized that there's a whole bunch of these boxes of rations and supplies that the army never used. And so they formed a committee titled Cooperative for American Remittance to Europe, CARE. And they organized it so that these packages got sent to Europe and were helping the needy. After those boxes, that surplus ran out, they continued and they bought supplies, packaged these boxes together, and continued sending them until Europe had got on their feet again. Fellow missionaries tonight, I want us to start thinking about care packages in this way. That as you look at the world around you, as you look at your community, as you look at those people that are in need, and we could talk about those that are really in need, they can't afford what they really need, those homeless, those down and out, those that have lost their job, lost their homes, those kind of things. Can we look at that as that, now that is an opportunity to give, but then we're also going to include a tract or tracts or the salvation story or a Bible book, a Bible story book, whatever. But can we start looking at it more that way, the tract work, probably specifically tonight, that we're reaching out to humanity to help them and it has a tract with it. This Heaven's Confetti project was born out of that. Anthony and Sheena were missionaries in northern Canada, they started making little notes that they could leave wherever or hand to somebody to help cheer up their day. Well, the idea now is that we still have those that you can hand to somebody to cheer up their day. It just so happens to have the gospel tract QR code on the back. But first of all, let's look at it. How can we reach out to the hurting, to the needy, to the people that need salvation, and then we'll give them the gospel? I've heard, and we've been in contact, we've received orders for the Heaven's Confetti from sewing committees that are making layup bundles and bundles that they give to the needy, and they want to put this confetti in those bundles. It's a great idea. Give them what they need, but share the gospel. Again, the other evening, our track committee there at Scott City was discussing, well, actually it wasn't the track committee, but we've had a program going at Scott City for 30 years. We go to Norton Prison. It's about 2 hours, 2.5 hours north of us. And that work, we're not sure where it's going, because the last couple times they went, nobody showed up at their Bible study. What I want to bring in here this evening is we've been doing track work for many, many years. I think Rod could probably tell us too, but we were shared not long ago in our track board chat. Somebody posted a picture of the first tract office in, was it Halstead?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, Halstead or somewhere there. Little building. Probably was only about 20 feet long and 15 feet wide. That's where the tract work started many years ago. We have been doing that work, and it has amazed me since I had come onto the board that people are enthused about handing out tracts and passing out tracts, and you're here, you're inspired to share the gospel through gospel tracts. Praise the Lord. But let's start thinking, if it's not working the way we're doing it in our congregation, what do we need to change? And there again, I'm saying that from this standpoint, that if there's a well of inspiration for the lost souls, you'll find something outside of the box to share. You'll find a way to get that tract work done. Continue those routes. But consider, is there a way that when I'm on that route, I can give a care package? And I'm not saying that that actually means that you're giving an actual package, but probably more so what I'm wondering is if we package our heart and we're willing to give that to someone else, will we become more effective in our work? I'll have to admit, while I was in New York City there, we would go out and put out a rack, and I would wonder, is this even worth it? Because some weeks later, 3 months later, we would come back and the rack looked like it was clear, still full. And I would face days that, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? I've heard from different workers in our cities that sometimes they wonder. But fellow missionaries this evening, I believe it's all ministers, revivalists, missionaries, we all face that. Sometimes we wonder, when we plant, will it produce? But have faith that God will provide, that He will send someone to water, He will send someone to cultivate, and there will be a harvest. Like I said, and I don't know, I hesitate to qualify it, because that young man that I saw walking away from me, I need to have faith that God will reach him and he will do a work. I'll never probably know it. But have faith that it will produce. Rod may actually share just a little bit about the work in Zambia. But if I understand right, there is a man there that has been doing tract work for a while, and now he is our brother. That work is producing. We have a sister in Burundi that she went to the market to buy some fish. She was given a fish. It was wrapped in paper. When she got home, that paper was a tract. She started reading it, came under conviction, and is now one of our sisters. Have faith that it will produce. The other thing that I gleaned from this book, Reaching America, he had a quote in there that says, and I had read one of his previous books about titled The Other Side of the Wall, and he leaves this encouragement in this book that we need to look over the wall at other cultures. Brothers and sisters, this evening, when you think of going to New York, to Oklahoma City, to Fairview, who are you looking for to give tracts? I've been inspired, and Roger here, Roger Yost from Living Hope, was inspired recently to go to Garden City and look at the Spanish work there. I had never thought of it. I was just going to go to Garden City and put out English. He went and put out a lot of Spanish information tracts. Look at those people on the other side of the wall. What can we do to help them, to spread the gospel to them? I would put this challenge out here. We live close to Garden City, and there are Somalians, Haitians, Burmese. There's people from Rohingya. They're from Eritrea. They speak Rohingya. What can we do to reach those type of people? We talk about a difficulty. The current administration is closing the borders. But if we want to help, let's reach out to those immigrants. They need help. They need the gospel. Let's look to them to see if we can help wherever. I don't know how it is here. Do you have it in Enid? Where can you go to reach those communities? In closing, I want to read the scriptures out of Zechariah chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. And it just says this, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked to me, with me, came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. That candlestick, let's just imagine that. I don't know, I haven't studied theology enough to know what this really all means, but that candlestick is the plan of salvation, the gospel story. But there's two olive trees beside it. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So we have this here project, could we say, of evangelizing to the world. We have this project of tract work. We have this project of sending missionaries to other countries. And as we sit in the, as I sit in the board meetings, it is amazing to me. It is overwhelming, the scope of that work. How many missionaries we have out there, how many people they're touching, how many workers we need, how many places we could go. The funds seem to be short. But here this scripture says that there are two trees, olive trees, planted by this apparatus. And olives, I think we all know, produce oil. And so there is a continual, I'm going to say an eternal, supply of oil for this machine. Let's not become discouraged when it seems like our congregation is not enthused. Because there is a spirit that if we would open our hearts and mind, that oil is ready to be used. It's there. Can we inspire? Can we bring enthusiasm to each one of our congregation? Just a little example of that. I forget, probably 6 months ago, we were needing a worker in one of our domestic fields here in the United States. And us workers on the track board that are in charge of the domestic work, as we say, we have this chat. And we started discussing, we knew that we had a couple going home within maybe 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and we had no applications in to fill that. And so I don't want to, how would I say, point fingers at other people and discount what they're doing, because I believe everybody is led by the Spirit in how they're doing. But we wondered, should we start putting out WhatsApp statuses? Should we somehow get the word out there that here we need a worker in this city? And after some discussion and maybe even leaning toward, yeah, let's do something, let's get it out there, one of the brethren just came on and said, he had found that whenever there was a need, the Lord supplied. And I don't know the time frame, but it was within a week. Somebody had handed in an application to do domestic work in the United States. The Lord provided. We became a little anxious. We wondered if it would happen the way we were hoping it would. But that continual well, that continual drip of olive oil into this apparatus, into this work that we have going as a church, as a people, as a congregation, your congregations, there is, if we're willing to tap into it, let it run, there will be a continual supply of how would I say, workers, and the things that we need to do that work. So now I'll go back to this Heaven's Confetti. They've asked me to share just a little bit of how that has come together. I find it interesting that it's coming up here, but not really. Because it is it's something that I'm enthused about, my wife is enthused about, track board is enthused about, but it is not a track work as such. Anthony and Sheena Thiessen from Dewberry, Saskatchewan, they spent, like I said, spent some time in the North Country with doing mission work there. And they were inspired to make little notes that they could leave on restroom mirrors or in hand to people or leave them wherever that would just bring some cheer to somebody. They came home. Sheena started painting a little bit and decided to make these little circles. I wish I had some up here. But anyway, they decided, well, you know, this is actually something we could share with others. They found that there was some enthusiasm, so they had some commercially printed, and they started selling those, putting them in bags and selling them, and realized that there was a lot more enthusiasm for that than they had initially thought. They were having some difficulty getting them shipped into the United States, so Donna and I went with them to a meeting in Hythe, Alberta last year, and we became enthused with the project and told them, we'll help you. So now we're also helping them in the U.S. But that project, why I say, we've talked about it as the track board. We've decided that until something changes, if Anthony's and us decide we want to hand it to somebody else, then the track board may consider taking it over. But I have been inspired with this, that it is not a track work. It is an individual work for you each. I recently had a brother in another congregation tell me, he said it seems like it's more of a feminine thing. And I'm not sure if I agree with him. But brethren, if you feel that way, find other ways to touch people, to reach out to them and say, here's something for you. I want to extend goodwill to you. I want to extend cheer to you. I don't know what that would be. Piece of gum? I don't know. But it has been inspiring to see that this heaven confetti is a way that we can personally reach out to individuals. If you're interested, if your congregation has not received any and you're interested, you can contact me. My name and phone number is in the yearbook. We have some in the back here. We have set up a email account. We're wondering if someday we'll have a website, but at this point, the email is getintouch@heavensconfetti.com. You can either order through that or send a message to me or my wife's phone. Again, let's look to each of our hearts. And is there a well of inspiration springing up? If not, let's pray to the Lord that He will give that inspiration. He will be faithful. Just thinking here, you know, when Jesus was on this earth, He sat with His disciples and He asked His disciples, who do people say I am? And they told Him that some say you're Elijah, some say you're Isaiah. Then He asked them, but who do you say that I am? And they confessed this, that you are Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Jesus then told them That was not revealed to you by man, by flesh and blood, but by the God in heaven. If you do not have that inspiration tonight, ask the Lord to give it to you, because that is only where it will come from. I cannot tell you, I cannot inspire you. I cannot give that into your heart that says, yes, let's go tell the world, let's go plant, let's go water, let's cultivate, let's harvest. But that inspiration needs to come from the Lord. And so if it's lacking, pray to Him, and He will be faithful. May the Lord bless us.
Well, I've been inspired this evening, and I think you have been too. You know, I am looking at a group of believers here this evening, and I want you to think a little bit this evening about that wellspring of inspiration that Todd was talking about. And I hope that when you think about your experience of coming from darkness to light, and from being lost to being saved, and that weight of condemnation that you were freed from, and the peace and joy and happiness and freedom that you felt at that time, I hope that there's something within you that wants others to have that too, and wants others to experience what you have experienced. You know, we sometimes feel a little bit inhibited. Like, what are they going to think of me if I try to offer a Heaven's Confetti or offer a tract or something like that? What are they going to think of me? I'd just like to encourage each one of you to just let those inhibitions go. You know, I've had the opportunity, the privilege to travel and to be in contact with many different people. And it amazes me when I can just let go of those inhibitions and just start a conversation. Maybe not even about spiritual things, but just start visiting with that man that you're standing beside in the security line at the airport. And it just amazes me over and over again when we start talking about spiritual things, we start talking about God, we start talking about salvation, we start talking about Jesus, and they get enthused too, and they say, oh, I've got this here, I like to give one of these daily breads to everybody that I visit with and things like that. And it's a blessing, the times when I can just kind of quit looking at myself and quit worrying about myself and quit thinking about me and just become uninhibited. That's the power of the gospel. I'm not going to tell you about Mr. Chopo tonight. Our time's been well spent. But I do want to tell you about him tomorrow and a few other experiences that I've been privileged to have. You know, Peter talks about it in the book of Peter. He talks about being an eyewitness to the glory of God. And he was referring to when he and James and John were there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ, and they saw his glory. And I've been privileged to be an eyewitness to the effect, to the result of the gospel being spread through the printed page. And almost without fail, it has been because of personal interaction with a believing person. There's been a tract involved many times, most times, but it has been because of personal interaction. And really, that's what we want to encourage in these meetings, possibly more than anything else, is that personal interaction with humanity, a lost and dying humanity that needs a Savior.
Well, how you feeling? A little behind the mark? Yeah, me too. That's why this is a rally. You know, there's been a common denominator that I heard talking to different congregations planning this. And they said we just can't get going after COVID. Folks, we're about 6 years past COVID, 5.5. Is that excuse still going to work? I don't think it's going to a whole lot longer. We're going to have to pick up our game, aren't we? Appreciate what these brethren brought. Let's have our special number now, please.
Of sin is gathering fast, for all this edge of a million eyes, a torch upheld in a thousand hands, the darkness would defy. Will you retreat into your shell, complaining of the dark? Or will you be a volunteer and be a tiny spark?
Oh, will you
do your little part?
Your little part.
Do your little part.
One small fire
will you start? One small fire. Depends on me and you. He said you are to be a light within a world that's dark. Will you accept the challenge now and be a tiny spark?
Oh, will you
be do your little part?
Your little part.
Do your little part.
One small
fire will you start?
Fire,
will you start? Will you be a tiny spark?
Will you
be a tiny spark? Change that can change.
The dark
can change the dark.
Oh, will you
do your little part?
Your little part.
Do your little part.
One small
fire.
Fitting songs. Nice closing to this meeting. Just a few announcements here. We want you as a congregation to know that you're all invited tomorrow to partake in this time that we're going to share. So come back if you got a little time and join us. We're going to start here at church at 9:30. Let's try to be punctual if we can. We've got quite a number of items, and we'd like to get through them if we can, and if we don't, that's fine as well, but let's try to get started at 9:30 if we can. Our courtesy committee is still standing by if anybody needs anything. Evan here, if you don't mind, hold your hand up. Here's Juan. Garrett, where'd you go? He's back there in the back. Feel free to ask them if there's a need. Also, Gospel Track always brings us a table full of goodies, I'm going to call them. That's probably not the proper word. It's back there in the back. It's set up. It's a couple new tracks. You're welcome to take anything you want off that table. Some of the items that they have available. Take a little time and go by there. After all, we're all enthused, right? We're going to start in the morning. Also, last time we had a meeting, we realized that if we don't thank you as a congregation tonight, we don't hardly see you much anymore. So thanks for letting us come here. Thanks for taking us in. Food committee's working hard. Courtesy committee, all your beds. Everybody, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We'll let Matt Levings here from Fairview close us in prayer.
Father, we just simply bow before you this evening, Lord, a group of your people. We are thankful. We're thankful that we can be together in this way. We're thankful for the inspiration of the evening. And Lord, most of all, we're thankful that you have saved us. We're thankful for your plan. We're thankful, Lord, that each one of us has experienced your heart. Your very heart was given to us as part of your plan of salvation. And we know that we each one have the opportunity to just simply invest ourselves and to give of our hearts to those around us. And Father, we just pray that your love can be poured into our hearts, that we can have a vision of what you've done for us, that we can remember that we can pass that on, that we can just do our little part like we heard tonight, that we can be faithful in that. We thank you again for the inspiration of the evening. Pray that you would go with us to our beds of rest tonight, wherever that is. And we just pray for your continued blessing on this gathering as it continues tomorrow, that you would be here, that you would continue to inspire and lift, Lord, and that most of all, that you can be honored and glorified. This would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.